Got your Bibles, let's open up. 1 Kings chapter number 12. Everything that we've heard thus far in the service, appreciate the good testimonies, the good singing. It thrilled our heart. 1 Kings chapter number 12. Ask when you find that place, you stand with us as we give reverence to the reading of God's Word. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse number 25, and we'll read down there to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and he dwelt therein, and he went out from thence and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel, and he made two calves of gold. And he said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan." Verse 31, the Bible says, "And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves and that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made." Verse 33 says, "So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, and the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, he ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense." Heavenly Father, Father, we're thankful for the presence of God that we've already felt in the service. I believe, Lord, these folks today that have already gotten help at your hand. Lord, I pray for a little while. Would you help me, Lord? Oh, God, we need your touch. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd open and close our mouth. Father, I pray that every ear would be attentive to what thus saith the Word of God. Father, I pray today that you would help me, Lord, that I may decrease, and oh God, that you might increase, that they would not receive the words as it were words of men, but as it is indeed the Word of very God. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us today and to stand with the authority and the unction and the power of the Spirit of God. Father, not just to come as some do, just to hear a performance, but God, to hear a message from heaven today. We stand in need. Ask you to help us one more time. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested as we look in this passage of Scripture, and just to sort of bring you up to speed, we'll try not to be long this morning, but just to bring you up to speed, Solomon has died at this particular time, and he had a son named Jeroboam, or he had a son named Rehoboam, and that the kingdom was going to be given unto, but this man sought the counsel of unwise men. Now the Bible says it had been ordained of God, and so as a result, we find this man, and Jeroboam enters into the picture. And when he is anointed, it is said, God will be with you. He said, God will make your throne unto extend like unto Solomon. But we find in this place something peculiar happened. And this man no longer is interested in the ways and the will of God. And then something begins to happen in his life. I want you
you to notice there are several instances in verse 28. It said he made two calves of gold. In verse 31 it said, and he made a house of high places, and he made priests of the lowest people. In verse 32 at the end, and the calves that he made and the high places which he made. In verse 33 we find, and that the altar which he made. And so this man begins to try to replace what God had ordained and had sovereignly given him. And he begins to try to replace it with some things that he has made. I want you to hear me this morning. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach on for a little while on counterfeit Christianity. And counterfeit Christianity. My friend, there's a lot of folks I'm persuaded to believe that do not have a genuine born again salvation. And they have been slipped a counterfeit. And the truth of the matter is, and some of you this morning, and the title itself made you a little nervous, and because you knew what the message was going to be about. And man, I realize there'll be great opposition as we look through this scripture. But I'm thankful I've got all of heaven on my side, and that's all that I need. Amen. I'm telling you, we find that this man begins to make things. And dear God, that's what a counterfeit is. Amen. They don't buy the real thing. And the one thing is issued out of Washington, D.C. If you've got a genuine bill, friend, it came from the United States Treasury. But men don't like to buy that. And so they say, well, that costs too much. It'd be a little easier if we just made it. Amen. It'd be a little easier if we just printed our own money. And so men, as long as there have been dollar bills, and there have been men trying to counterfeit it, I'm telling you, dear friend, Satan's not interested in counterfeit money. He is interested in counterfeit salvation. I want you to understand, since the dollar, hey, listen, whether you know it or not, and the devil is your enemy, and you understand that there was a time he had an exalted position in the heaven. He reflected back the glory of Almighty God. But then according to Isaiah 14, he said, I'll be like the Most High. Amen. He said, yet, and thou shalt be brought down to hell. And so God cast him out. But friend, listen, all of a sudden that glory, and that Satan, Lucifer in those days, and was reflecting back to God, and that became a vacant spot. And then God made little old man. Amen. Made folks like me and you. And what's our sole purpose in life? And thank God that we might do good work and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And so God cast out Satan. Amen. And you took his place. Amen. And he allows you as far as and to reflect the glory of God. And Satan understands. I want you to listen. He said, I want to be like the Most High. And then he took folks like me and you. And through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, he made us like unto and the Son of Almighty God. And so God allowed us, who was undeserving, and to take his place. And so Satan understands what God had done, and through his Son, he said, I'll tell you what, and I know if they ever get a hold of it, and they'll have my place, and they'll be what I wanted to be, and he hates you as a result. Amen. So he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just make up some things that look like the real thing. And so the truth of the matter is, from where you sit, and you don't know if this is real or not. Amen. Amen. I mean, it might be real or it might not be. And just depends on what it looks like. And there's some things about it just don't feel right. But you don't know. Amen. Here's the thing, friend. And from where I stand behind this pulpit, I don't know if you're saved. Amen. You might look like it. You might shout her down every service. Amen. You might have the best testimony and that anybody could shake a stick at. But the truth of the matter is, I don't a bit more know if you're saved than anything. But God knows, amen, who it is born again. And so I want you to notice, first of all, in this passage we see that he first tries to counterfeit the person of the Trinity. It says in verse 28 that he made two calves of gold, and he said, "These be thy God." And we find he does what he can first to try to counterfeit the sovereign God. You remember over there the Bible says in John chapter 8, he said, if you knew my Father, then would you have received me? But in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said, ye are of your father, the devil. Amen. And so the devil's got some children too. And the Bible teaches us, amen, there are children of disobedience. I want you to hear me, friend. He's trying to imitate who God is. And there's a lot of folks, you come in the house, I want you to hear me, with everything you are today, you can imitate everybody around you. Hey man, you can come to a Bible-believing church, and you can cry at the right times, and you can lift your hand up at the right times. Hey man, you can sing at the right times, and you can do all those things at the right time. And that doesn't a bit more mean you're saved than anything. I'm telling you, dear God, but thank God, and those that's got the real thing. Hey man, praise God. I don't have to see what anybody else's bill looks like. And John Haley, I don't have to compare myself to what you got. I know when it got slipped in, amen. I got the real thing, praise God. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved, amen. I want you to notice he tries not just to imitate the Father, but he tries to imitate the Son. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, and for your adversary, the devil, as a lion. If he can make it look like the Lord Jesus, he'll do everything he can. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it said, he's got a man called the Son of Perdition. And the Word of God in Luke calls Jesus the Son of Man. And the Bible in 2 Thessalonians calls the Antichrist and the man of sin. And you say, what are you getting at, preacher? What I'm trying to get at is there's more counterfeits out there than what you know, amen. And there's more folks that have been deceived than what we realize. I'm telling you, I want you to hear me. Friend, I wouldn't care about what anybody in this church thought about me. Do you know that you've been born again, friend? Is what you got real, real, real? We'll look in just a minute. I want you to know not only that, but he'll counterfeit the spirit, amen. And the Bible says, and to try the spirits, amen. Amen, praise God. And see whether they be of God. And so that must mean that Satan's got a spirit too, amen. And somebody say amen right there. Amen, that means Satan's got a spirit too. And so that means every time somebody jumps up and shouts and you feel something, it does not necessarily mean it is the spirit of God, amen. And you say, brother, how do you know the difference? And well, the Bible tells us real clear. And when the Holy Ghost of God shows up, he's going to do one thing. He's going to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you testify of the Holy Ghost, if it testifies of works, if it testifies of anything outside the Son of God, it's not the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't care if it makes every hair on your back stand up. It doesn't matter. Amen. If it makes funny feelings come down in your stomach. And bless God, we better bank on what the Word of God says. Amen. I'm telling you, he'll imitate the Spirit. I believe, dear friend, he'll do everything he can. He'll imitate whatever he can to pass the counterfeit off in your pocket. Notice he counterfeits not only the person of God, but then in verse number 31, he also counterfeits the place of God. And the Bible says he made him a house of high places. I'm telling you, he said, well, if I'm going to imitate the people of God, then I better imitate, amen, the place of God. And not every place that's got church written on their name is a Bible believer, amen, Holy Ghost, God ordained and church. Just cause you got pews, and just cause you got a pulpit, and just because you got a preacher, it does not mean you're a church, amen. and bless God somebody and goes out and they begin to make things happen in their own flesh. It is not the place of God. I want you to notice I thought about, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want you to hear me. You remember every time Jesus would walk into and there the temple while he is walking, he always said these words. He said, their synagogue. It wasn't his synagogue. Amen. And now that's real particular. You say, why is that? And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has a church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He gave his life for his church and for his people. But in Revelation chapter number 2, and the Bible says there is a synagogue of Satan. In other words, there. And what I'm trying to get you to see is there are some people that folks are enamored with. I mean, I'm telling you, and they'll sit back and they'll say, boy, what a church. And man, I mean, they'll do this at that church and they'll do that at that. Hey, all that stuff's fine. But if they're not lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a church. Let me just tell you what this place isn't, okay? I'm going to help everybody real quick. You say, preacher, you're fixing to run everybody off. That'll be fine too. I want you to hear me real quick, okay? And this place is not a place of entertainment. Amen. And bless God, we don't have light shows. Amen. This is not a place of competition. And we're not coming in here to see who can out-sing the next person and see who can out-preach the next person. Amen. There's only one big person in this church, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to understand, friend, and this isn't a coffee shop, amen. It's not a gossip center, and this is not a place, amen, to outline everything else in your life. It is a place of worship, amen. That means, praise God, when we come in, worship ought to be on our mind, and the Lord Jesus ought to be on our mind, and serving him ought to be on our mind. And just because you show up at a place and that says it's church and you check in from 11 to 12 and does not mean that that is a place of God. You say, preacher, you believe this is the only one? Amen. I don't know. What I do know is this. This is one. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I can't attest for every other place. I know there's all kinds of places of God out there. But I want you to know this. And just like there's more counterfeits than there are, amen, real money, there's more counterfeit churches than what you realize. Amen. I mean, you come in. Let me just stop. Amen. I want you to. This isn't a self-help session either. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I ain't trying to teach you to be your best you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm not here, my friend, and to try to help everybody and smile a little better and deal with life. Amen. Life is temporary, friend. I'm here, bless God, and that we might make an eternal difference. And so we notice that not only does he do his best to counterfeit the place of God, but then notice what the Bible says. He made him priest of the lowest people. Amen. Praise God. And now listen, if Satan's got himself a place, he's also got his own preachers. Amen. Amen. Not everybody, bless God, that holds a King James Bible in their hand is a man of God. Amen. I'll tell you what I do. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know me, I wouldn't trust me. Amen. I won't trust you neither. Amen. And you take what I say, you base it on the Word of God, and if it lines up, then amen, then you know I am what I say I am. Amen. Praise God. Hey, there's some folks you might be around, and they might surprise you how they turn out. What I know though is that, let me just read that over there. And the Bible teaches us, you just listen to me, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, it said, for such are false apostles and deceitful workers, and transforming themselves unto the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. And so in other words, and you might show up at a place and there'll be a counterfeit preacher that'll stand up and give you just enough truth to die and go to hell with. Amen. Amen. You better believe that. I'm telling you, friend. And you say, well, preacher, how do I know? Amen. That's why we got a Bible. Amen. That's why you got a Bible. And the first thing I thought about is we know who the men of God are based on their persuasion. He gives you a whole outline in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. He says these are the qualifications of a bishop. And now listen, I'm going to help you out real quick. Hey man, the Bible is real, real clear about what the qualifications of a bishop are. He must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. No striker, not given to wine. And so now, listen, I want you to hear me. And so right out of the gate, we can do away with a whole lot of false apostles. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If they're, amen, a lady, bless God, according to the word of God, be perfectly impossible for her to be the husband of a wife. Amen. Bless God. And so by very definition, any one of these husband and wives teams, and go ahead and mark it down. I don't care how much you like them or how good they sound. You mark it down, friend, and they are false apostles. Amen. And then the word of God goes on to say, amen, that his house ought to be in order. I want you to listen. I saw just last week, amen, that a fella came up and he said, well, I know my house ain't in order. He said, but my church wanted me to stay, so I'm going to anyhow. And let me just go ahead and stop you right here. I don't answer to Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Amen. I answer to the good God that called me. And if my house ain't in order, there ain't enough of you people in here to beg me and to keep me to stay. And the word of God is real clear, and it doesn't make any difference how we feel. Amen. And so if it's against God's word, amen, you better mark them. Amen. Amen. Everybody okay? Amen. I'm trying to help you. Everybody all right? Amen. I want you to understand. You can mark them out now. He says, not given to any wine. And so if they running around drinking, amen, praise God. Amen. The word of God calls them false. It doesn't make it. Now the problem is the way we do it in Baptist church, we'll say, man, I really like him though. Amen. But Kevin, he is gifted. Amen. I mean, have you ever heard him preach? I mean, that fella, he can go through and he can exposit scripture like nobody I ever heard. Don't you guess the devil can do the same thing? You better not get too caught up in how charismatic or how gifted he is in the word. I promise you, the devil's more gifted in the word than ever preacher that's ever been called of God. He knows it backwards and forward. He knows it from beginning to end. I'm telling you, don't go on that, friend. Amen. Now watch what the Bible says. Amen. I know, bless God, but I want you to see. Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you can tell a false preacher based on a few things. Notice it says in verse 20, if a man bring you into bondage, amen, then he's a false one. Yeah. What's that mean? That means if you come in the place of God, amen, he puts more burdens on you and brings you under bondage unto himself. In other words, he becomes the chief and no longer the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He becomes the person that's preeminent and no longer the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark it down. Amen. Hey, listen. I know it's uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, absolutely, it doesn't matter what near you feel about it. Amen. There's a lot of people I like that's probably going to die and go to hell. Amen. And I don't say that to any joy in my heart. I just know what the Bible said. And so it says that. Now notice what he goes on to say. As I read real quickly, he says, if a man devour you, in other words, if when he comes in, all he wants to talk about you, giving him more and giving him more. Amen. So let me help you right here, okay? And I know this hurts some folks' feelings. Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, T.J. Jakes, all the rest of the apostates, amen, that are running around and driving 767s. I don't care how much you like their books, amen. Bible said if they come to devour you, then they are false, amen. Help me. Word of God goes on to say, it goes on to say this, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, amen. He goes on to say, if a man smites you on the face, amen. If a man, every time, listen, I listen to preachers. I want to see who they're going to magnify. If all they've got is a bunch of stories about what they've done, amen, you probably ought to go ahead and mark them down, friend. Can I tell you every story that I could ever tell you? Amen, is absolutely worthless. But I can repeat that same story over and over again. Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross, amen, for our old sin. And so we find that he tries to imitate the preachers of God. And then we find he also imitates the praise of God. And the Bible says back in 1 Kings there, in chapter number 11, it says these words. It said that so he offered upon the altar which he made in Bethel. And so he tries to imitate the praise. And the Word of God teaches us that, and God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And then in Revelation chapter number 13, verse 4, the Bible said, and they worship the dragon. And just as much as God wants worship, and so does the devil, amen. And now there's a lot of counterfeit worship, amen. Amen. Now listen, I say this with all the love and intent of my heart. When we worship God, when we testify of God, amen, it ought to be for God, amen. If we're not careful, Satan will just, he'll counterfeit a testimony right in the midst of that thing. Amen, it's usually about me or you. So here's the question. How do I know if I've got a counterfeit? I don't know what I did with that dollar. Anybody find it? Somebody give me a $20 bill. I found it. How do I know if what I got, if what you got is real? See, here's the thing. A lot of people don't find out until they try to pass it. And when they give it to the cashier, they thought the whole time it in their pocket, it was good.
Yeah. Listen.
When they tried to hand it off, the cashier says, oh no, oh no.
Right.
That's counterfeit. See, what I don't want is anybody in this church to have a counterfeit salvation.
Amen.
You've been holding on to some flimsy profession,
right,
some experience from 400 years ago.
Yeah.
Hey, man, but you ain't never let God do a work in your life since then. I'm saved, preacher. Hey, man, everybody I run into saved.
Uh-huh.
Hey, man, ain't been in the house of the Lord for 60 years. They're drunks, they're cussards, they're adulterers and everything else, but they're saved. I'm telling you, bless God, I wouldn't hold on to some flimsy thing. I want you to know that what you got is not counterfeit. And so what's the first thing you do? Hey, man, you shine a light on it. Hey, man, you get that light out there. And first way you can see, you probably can't see that from where you're sitting at. But right here's a big image. And right over there, when you hold a light up to it, you see another image. Amen. There's two images in there. And you hold that bill up to the light, you can see the second image up on the first image. I'm telling you, friend, Bible teaches us, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But that's not where it stopped. For those whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate and to be conformed unto the image of His Son. And those that have, dear God, an authentic salvation and with the Lord Jesus Christ, there won't be two images in your life or one image. Rather, there'll be two images. And the Lord Jesus Christ will superimpose Himself.
Yeah.
He'll be ever making you more like Himself. And if He's not doing that for you, and bless God, that's a real good indication.
Yeah.
You've never been saved.
Amen.
You know what I like about it? It says that somebody like me, we take a lot of money running a cashier. It said folks that handle a lot of money, they can tell it just by the way it feels. Now, it's one thing to get in a group of believers and somebody over here says, I just want to thank you, Lord. And everybody starts shedding tears, and then you get caught up in it too. But that's emotionalism, not spiritualism. But I'll tell you what I got. I can feel it in here. I don't need nobody around me. I don't need to have a church singing. I just want to thank you, Lord. Amen. I lay my head down a building. Down at night, I can feel the presence of a holy God. Glory to God. I get up in the morning, as I was bowing my head this morning, I said, oh God, I know this message ain't going to go over real good. But I'm trying to warn them and keep them out of hell. I just want to feel your presence. And hallelujah as he comes by. See, I want you to know something. If it don't feel right, hey man, you've got this sneaking suspicion down in your heart and that it just ain't right. It ain't never felt right. It ain't never done what you thought salvation was supposed to do. But you've got some little profession. You probably just got handed a counterfeit. And dear God, I don't want you to wait until it comes time for eternity to cash it in. He said, boy, you grab that thing, you hold that up. That's an emergency beaker. That might have just been for you. Hold that up there, and it says there's what they call a security thread. He said, and that security thread runs from top to bottom. Thank God. I'm telling you, I'm as saved right now as I'm ever going to be.
Amen.
I ain't looking to get any more saved than what I already am. Lord Jesus Christ going to save my body one day. I understand that. But as far as my eternal soul goes, amen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but what I know is I've got a security thread. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ runs from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm telling you, friend, you ever want to know if a bill's real, you just hold it up and see if you can find that security thread. And then, bless God, if it's not there, that's a good indication that what you got is counterfeit, amen. If you've been saved 1,500 times, it probably ain't real, amen.
Amen,
amen. Praise God. I thought about, hold up one of these bills, Wayne Ipock. You'll notice on the front of this thing, there's three 20s that are the same, but there's one been changed. If that little 20 at the bottom, it don't change, then it ain't real. You listening to me? See, three people had to be the same in order for you to be saved. God the Father, He calls you. God the Son, He saves you. God the Spirit, He seals you. But when those three get together, they change that other one.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Now I want you to hear me, okay? Everybody look at me. Stop doing whatever you're doing. I want you to look at me. Bless God if when the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul, if when He reached down on that day that you profess, if He did not change you eternally, if He didn't change your affections, if He didn't change your want-tos, He didn't change your heart and change your mind, then I don't care what you feel or what any other preacher says. I'm telling you, what you got is counterfeit. Amen. It's counterfeit. It's counterfeit. It says, if you really want to know, and I'm about done, you want to know if a bill's fake? Said, you hold that thing under a microscope. Said, and the borders at the top will be blurry. They can't produce the straight lines that's on your $20 bill. I got to thinking about that. It's not in my own power to walk straight. To be straight. I can't change my mind and want to do right. If you do that, you'll do it for a little while, but then you'll quit.
Right.
See, what I'm talking about is some folks, the devil slipped them in some religion, and they'll die and go to hell with religion, never been born again.
Right.
Says the lines are blurry on counterfeits. If you find yourself always blurring the lines, you listening to me? There's blurry lines in your life. You ever trying to say, that's not really what it is. I know that's what God said, but that's not what He means. You ever trying to justify living wrong? Ever try to justify? The people of God don't justify sin, they repent of it. Amen? The people of God, when they do wrong, they don't condone it, justify it, or sweep it under the rug. They come and confess and ask God. But the people that got a counterfeit, they're ever trying to justify it. It's still wrong to live together.
Amen.
But you find these churches today, just however. Come on, just however. Hey, listen, those of you know me, I'm not a mean preacher, but I feel a little mean-spirited right now, okay? But I'm a little angry. And I ain't angry at the people. I want you to understand this. The devil is slipping more people. I'm persuaded there's more people got counterfeit religion than have an authentic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lines are blurry. Said, but the best way to know how, if this one's real, is to get a hold of one that is real and compare them. So what are you saying, preacher? I know what real salvation looks like based on what this Bible says.
Amen.
Repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He changes our walk. He changes our speech. He changes who we are. Amen. Rest in our whole eternity on Christ, not on our own works or merits. So whenever I want to know if what I got's real, I'll say, does what I got, TJ, match up with what this says? Now, if it does, then what you have's real.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And don't let the devil try to talk you out of it.
Amen.
But if you can't, then what you got is a counterfeit, and don't let a bunch of amen, penny-ante preachers talk you into it.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care if you've sang 1,000 songs in this choir. If you've preached 100 messages behind this pulpit. If you've given 1,500 testimonies, taught a Sunday school class.
Yeah.
Amen, held a prayer meeting or whatever. God is not impressed with what you've done.
Amen.
God's only impressed with His Son.
Yes, sir.
I ask you one question as we stand to our feet. Is what you got real? Do you know? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that what you got is real? If you've got any suspicion at all, I ain't trying to talk you into salvation. That's between you and Him. But if I had the slightest doubt if what I had was real, I'd make my way down to the altar and I'd ask the Lord to let me know. I want you to know this. You say, well, my husband, my wife, my preacher, whatever, may think this about me. You're going to let what somebody thinks about you in your pride lift your eyes up in hell one day. What they might have might be real. There's a lot of folks. It's counterfeit. You know what I know, Brother Jones, and it breaks my heart? There's some folks right now, and you know what you got is counterfeit. You know what you got and what you professed is not enough. But you're willing to deceive everybody around you. But see, here's the thing. God's the author of salvation. He printed the only authentic means by which to get into heaven. And when you present it to Him, He'll know instantly whether what you got's real or not.